See when. Hey guys, welcome back to Unleashed. We are so glad to have you with us. We are in the, what is this, the third week of October?
I thought you were going to say we're in the Pod studio, but yes, this is the this is the third week of October.
You call this the Pod studio?
Yeah, it's a pod, and it's the podcast pod, so it's the Pod.
You made me think of some kind of like food.
Oh, that doesn't sound bad either.
What's that noodle thing? It's like pod something.
Oh, dear.
Thai pod?
Pad Thai.
Pad Thai. There you go.
Yeah.
Spoken by the chef. I don't know food.
We should make Pad Thai.
Yeah, I'm so.
Then we just
I'm
eat so it right basic. In here.
It was right. Yeah. Hey, we should start doing that.
I'm not opposed to that in any way,
get
shape,
us,
or form.
Get a food sponsor, and we'll talk about it as we eat it.
Why don't you get us a food sponsor, Brent?
Yeah, the only thing is my diet's probably not going to be people's diet right
listen,
now.
Listen, I've changed my diet.
You have. Dude, how much have you lost?
Almost 35.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It is. It is. And I have a lot of things to say about that.
Well, I have something that if you want a really quick weight loss solution.
Yeah, besides the one I'm already on, give me another one.
No, with mine.
Yeah.
You don't want
I don't want yours.
No, you don't want that one. You don't want open heart surgery.
Going for open heart surgery weight loss solution.
Yeah, I'm up 6.
You also gained weight.
At first I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was retaining fluids. But yeah, that's another story.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you after my open heart, not to stay on this subject, but this is water under a bridge now. We're doing good.
Brent looks great, everybody.
Dude, I put 6
pounds. He needs a tan, though. He needs to get back out in the sun.
I do. I need to get out in the sun a little bit. But yeah, my goal was to put back on about probably 17, 18, and I'm up 6.
Excellent.
So that's my goal by Christmas. I want to do it through lifting. I don't want to do it through McDonald's, right?
Lifting 5 pounds at a time, it's hard to put on that weight. How much are you up to now? What can you lift? 10?
Well, what's the doctor told me I'm allowed to do?
Yes. Yeah, that's what we want to hear.
The doctor has said 10 each hand, 20 pounds, 10 in each hand.
So I'm glad to know that you're following the doctor's orders.
Well, okay.
Did your doctor listen to this podcast?
I doubt it.
We need to tag him.
I doubt it.
I'm tagging him today.
I can't really pronounce his name, I don't think, very well. And
I've only met him. Dr. Blackowitz?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm Dr. No, he's incredible, though. But yeah, I mean, he's very healthy. He's a young guy. He's probably in his late 30s. But yeah, so the doctor told me like 10 pounds in each hand. And he said, you know, once you get into week 8 and past that, we'll up that to a total of 20.
Okay.
Well, so I'm doing 15 with each hand. Because I figure I'm halfway through.
I'm halfway there, sure.
Yeah, I'm halfway there.
So next week you'll do 16 or 17 and a half.
Right. I'll pick up the little 2.5 pounders and put them on top of the other ones. And
oh, my gosh.
And I actually did something. I went out and mowed grass. My grass was terrible. I mean, because it's been since
you should have called me. I would have come and done it for you.
Well, I didn't finish it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know.
We'll see. We're going to see if you really mean it or not.
I use the new battery-powered ones. They're unbelievable.
No, is this like a push lawnmower?
Yeah, self-propelled. It yanks me down the yard.
Wow.
Technically, it yanks my wife down the yard. A man's got to have his priorities.
I just said there's one section that was driving me crazy because it was. It's been so dry here, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Grass isn't growing well. But so I did this. My wife was like, you are not doing that. And I said, I'll just test the waters. I won't do anything stupid. But I had to have my neighbor help me pull start it because I'm not allowed to do that.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And he said, I'm doing that. I said, you're not doing that. So anyhow, all good. And you know what the really fun thing is? Buddy of mine, Doug Gertz Archery, putting a plug in.
Yeah, I love Gertz Archery. Yes.
He gets a hold of me last night and he says, you know, he says, I know you can't pull a bow yet because you're not allowed to. And it's something I didn't want to have to do. But I thought, you know, if I was allowed to get out later this season, think in December, I could use a crossbow. And I was talking to Don Higgins from Chasing Giants, and we were both like, yeah, there's probably going to come a point for both of us at some point in your life we'd have to use a crossbow. But I didn't want to have to do that yet. But I don't have a choice. So he gets a hold of me, and he goes, how's your trigger finger? And I said, itchy.
Itchy.
And he said, well, you think you might want to try to get out? And I said, say when.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Because I know the answer for me. Is your trigger finger ever not itchy?
You know what's really weird is I shoot a bow right-handed.
Yeah.
You know, I throw right-handed. I play pool left-handed. And I shoot a gun or a crossbow left-handed.
Interesting.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, but it's always itchy.
Oh, yeah.
Mine too.
Yeah.
I could have just blown up my shoulder for 3 hours of skeet shooting, and it's itchy.
You know, for me, when it comes to hunting, I love just being out there. We talked about Roger Medley on here before, my buddy in Colorado that I go hunting with. And We always pray before we go into the woods, God, we pray for a successful hunt. And then we finish that sentence with, and sometimes that includes an animal. Mm-hmm. Because it's always successful when you're in the woods.
Amen.
Yeah. So, yeah, see, he gets a hold of me. So I think this week I'm going to be back in the woods, which I didn't think I would be. Dude, I'm so pumped.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Well, man, I was, you know, thinking about what are we going to talk about, you know, this week? You know, you've been gone for a couple of weeks, and so I've kind of been holding down the fort a little bit. It's good to be back with you. And so
you know what, though? You're great on your own. I was thinking maybe we should just go every other week.
Well, are you?
What?
You said maybe we could go every other week. That means...
Oh, I mean, I'm around as much as I can be.
Right on. Yeah. You got to remember, Kevin's the guy that really does try to fit a gallon in a quart jar. In a pint jar.
I don't spill any of it either.
Yeah, you don't. But I was going through it. You know, so I'm working on this new, you know, we've got the Unleashed book. We had to take a little step back from it a little bit because life has been crazy. So, and especially with me being at home and he's been on the road, I decided to go ahead and finish up the Big Five Man Killers. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned that last week. So it's all at the editor.
So awesome. And
yes, all the editor.
You've even been working on a workbook for it.
Yep, the facilitator's guide to go with it. I've got that almost done.
Wait, facilitator's guide?
So this is somebody the Big Five Man Killers.
Someone who can use that to like lead a smaller group. I love that.
Because I had a guy call me the other day, and he's like, you know, I want to do a men's group, but I don't know who I'd have lead it. And I'm like, well, why don't you lead it? He goes, yeah, I'm not that person. I said, well, I'm making a facilitator's guide. Because a lot of guys are like, I'm not sure what questions to ask, what to say. The facilitator's guide is going to have everything you're going to need. It's going to encourage you how to lead the group. And it's going to give you guys stuff to do each week. Outside of the assignment, it's giving you like activities that are going to apply to each one of the man killers that you guys are going to do together as a group, which is going to bring you guys closer together. So,
Brent, I have an idea.
Ding, 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 ding.
It doesn't happen often, everybody. What if you and I, especially you, co-led a men's group here in town so we could get to understand the facilitator's guide even better? You as the man who wrote it and me as a guy who wants to create
100%.
Well, I mean, let's just make that call right now. We're on the air. If anyone here is in town and wants to join us, we'll make that happen.
I would guess we'd probably be looking at starting in January because by the time I get the edited stuff back, it'll be, you know, and it depends. Again, I don't want to speak ahead of what the publisher will or not be willing to do, but getting some advance things printed, whether it will be with a spine on it or whether it's going to be, you know, just paper stapled
right together. Here behind us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it'd be great. I think it gives us a good feel for, does everything flow really well?
Exactly.
I'm excited about it.
We should be the beta test.
Well, let's do it.
I think you're only waiting until January because you now know you can get out in the field with a crossbow.
Yeah, right. And other guys, you know, they're like, you know what? When I get off work, I'm heading to my tree stand.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I know.
But January, it's like the weather's kind of bad. The only thing I really have in January going on right now is I'll be in Vegas working the SHOT Show.
Man, that's the best duck and goose hunting. I love it when it snows. You got to go out and break a little bit of ice, throw the deeks out.
Yeah, deeks.
Oh, my gosh.
The deeks. You just call them deeks.
Yeah.
Throw the deeks out.
Yeah.
You can tell you're into it.
Or like pheasant hunting. After a fresh 1 inch of snow, if I can be pheasant hunting, I'm in heaven. You just track them.
Now, I grew up with that, but as I got older, I don't know why. Maybe it's because locally we don't have much here.
Used to hunt elk in Colorado, hunted bear. I mean, yeah, but I don't know. There's something about the bird hunting. Here's what I really think it is. I have a super itchy trigger finger, and I get to shoot more times when I'm hunting birds. Right,
and you're active. You're not sitting waiting.
Yeah, as I said before, September 1st is my day because it's opening dove season pretty much in every state in the USA. So, and doves in most states, you can take like 30.
Yeah.
Well, that's a dream come true for me.
You know, when I was in Africa, and this is kind of maybe how we can kick this off, when I got done taking the animals that I was going to be hunting, the owner of the safari, Dries Visser Sr., he says, hey, here's a 12-gauge, here's several boxes of shells. Yeah. Other guys are still hunting. I'm going to take you out to the field in incredible dove hunting. Yeah. I shot every shell. And when I got back, I mean, and the locals will come out and pick up all the doves from the field. They'll just come out and get them. I took my shirt off and looked at my shoulder. It was black.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a dream for me.
Yeah.
Like my whole right shoulder, I can roll it, just crack it, crack it, crack it, crack it.
Dude, after going through this heart surgery and everything on me was bruised and cut open, and it's like, yeah, I think I'm done with that for a while.
Well, you're not supposed to do it, at least until however many weeks or months, right? You're not supposed to shoot anything.
Yeah, because of the shock against the shoulder. Yeah. Because, again,
you're fresh surgery.
Right, your breastbone.
Open up especially there, you don't want to open up a wound in a big vein right to your heart.
I asked him about like mowing grass. And he went, yeah, not for a couple weeks yet.
Yeah, because this Sunday, yeah, I you did it anyway. Well. Yeah. Well, this Sunday, we have our annual skeet shoot behind the church. And I had invited you to it, knowing, unfortunately, you probably couldn't make it and you can't.
But. Yeah, you know, it's one shot with a crossbow. There's not much kick with a crossbow
at
all. Yeah,
it's not a big deal at all.
Like shooting a 22. But anyhow, so I was getting ready to say, so over in Africa, we get done shooting all these doves.
Oh, yeah.
And so we get back that night. We're sitting around a campfire. What's one of the things which a lot of you guys, if you love the outdoors and you've sat around campfires with your buddies, you know, the hunting stories that we talk about, they're just memories. They're great, great moments. And we had a couple of guys there that were big game guides. You know, these are the guys that are guiding for, like, the big five of Africa. I mean, this is one step wrong, and you're in a whole lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So we happened to talk about Cape Buffalo, and they hate them. Uh-huh. Because here's the thing with the Cape Buffalo. You know, they call them Black Death for a reason.
Yeah, they just don't care.
And the week before we had arrived, one of the Cape Buffalo had charged their, like, Land Rover thing that they had out there, $20,000 of damage in one hit.
They can flip those things.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
So we had been out, I think it was the day before, and there's a gate. There was like 30,000 acres, and we had to access it through this gate. And there was a herd of Cape Buffalo, and there was one kind of laying, looking a little bit close to me, and he's like, yeah, get that gate shut and get back in here. So I open the gate. He pulls through. I shut the gate, and I see this thing stand up. By the time I can get to the truck, here it comes. It's chasing us down this dirt road, and the dust is flying everywhere. And it's on a mission. And I'm leaning out the window kind of with my camera. I'm kind of laughing. But Cape Buffalo, they're nasty. They really are. They kill a lot of – and the thing about a Cape Buffalo is if you're hunting them and you wound it and you don't find it and it's not a like a quick kill kind of a shot,
yeah,
they will wait for hours. They've been known to wait for days waiting for you to come back by that area again. They will stalk you. Yeah. But I think the animal that when I was over there, I saw hippos, you know, and hippos actually kill more people in Africa than any other animal does. But the animal that was the most intimidating to me was the elephant, because we'd be going through the bush, and this is strange to say, you've got like an elephant's back, you know, 10 or 11 feet tall, and it's the same height as some of these small trees they have, and they blend in crazy well. And so we were sitting around the campfire. We were talking about, you know, elephants. And they're like, yeah, we've had some bad experiences. We had one guy on one of the hunts that the elephant charged. And they'll bury you. Have you ever seen how they'll take their head and push you down into the dirt?
Yeah, it's crazy.
And this one guy, they pushed down into the dirt. And when they pick it up, they thought he was skewered by the tusk because he's, like, up against the face. And you can see the tusk coming out. What had happened was the tusk went through the guy's belt. And he lifted up and he slid back down and caught him on it. And he ended up being thrown off. But yeah, I'm sure he was still a little bruised up.
How you take that belt off?
Get the belt off quick. But so with elephants, but here's the amazing thing. So we're sitting here talking about it. These guys both have been special forces. And they were talking about, and I can't remember which country it was in, Zambia. I forget which one it was. But the... I don't know if it was the poachers, the military was coming in to stop these poachers, but they had been killing the older bull elephants. And what they began to find, they didn't know what was happening because they would find rhinos dead with massive gore wounds in the sides of them. They're going, what could be doing this?
What?
And so what they found is that when these young bulls go into something called must, it's when they go into testosterone, like a teenager into. They can get really violent, you know, pushing over trees, pushing over cars. And when they don't have an adult male to mentor them, it gets out of hand. And what they found is these young bulls that were going into must, they would pick a fight with a rhino and they would just, they call it rhino rolling. They would start rolling the rhino and their tusks were just putting holes all through these rhinos.
Abuse.
But you think about that when a young man.
I mean, the rhino's not. It's nothing to be...
Oh, thousands of pounds of muscle.
Yeah, these things are monsters.
Yeah, they're spooky.
Yeah.
That prehistoric look, right?
Yeah.
But when you think about anger, and when it's uncontrolled, when you don't have a pressure release valve, you know, like an older male in your life to help you walk through it, when you've got a question, I'm really angry about this, and someone that can help saying, you know, I've been there too, and talk it through. Mm-hmm. Have you ever like punched a wall or thrown something in a garage or?
Yes. Does it count if you've thrown somebody through a wall?
Okay. Well, let me get my pencil out here. 911.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Of course it does.
I have not shared this story because I was waiting for the whole. What do they call it when the time has elapsed where you can't get in trouble for it anymore?
Right. What? What's it called? It's like 7 years. What's that called?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what we're talking about. Statute of limitations.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I've certainly done things like that before. I've only hit a wall once with my hand because I was like, that really hurt. I'll probably never do that again. So right. Now I'll use a baseball bat or something to hurt things. I mean, I have a short fuse, and I know it, and I've had a short fuse for a long time. Part of it is, this goes back to the weight loss thing, I'm a much happier guy today than I was 4 months ago, and I thought I was fine 4 months ago. You know what I mean? Like, No, I feel fine. I'm out having fun, laughing, playing pickleball, you know, enjoying my life, like just having a good time. And then you lose 35 pounds and you go, man, I feel a lot better. I can only imagine what the next 35 will do. But I remember specifically, we were in St. Croix and we were snorkeling and just a bunch of stuff. And I just got super mad at my wife and both of my sisters and both of their husbands for pushing me into things I didn't want to do because I felt physically unable to do them. And, I was pretty irate. I wasn't any fun to be around.
Yeah.
Yeah. And St. Croix, on vacation.
Right, right. And it's
embarrassing, but it's true.
No, it's true. It's you're going there to let down. And, I would be lying if I didn't say that something has not happened like that with me on a vacation before. Or you get really upset and all of a sudden, why do your emotions come to the surface and someone can say something and you feel disrespected, right?
Yeah, that's one of them.
That's one of the man killers that I've got.
That's a big thing for me. If my wife, the poor thing, or my kids, this is my perspective, not theirs. If I think I'm not being respected, that sends me through the roof.
Yeah, it lights the fuse.
Yeah, I'm much better now than I was. I mean, I won't deny that. God has worked miraculously in my heart and my mind to keep me from getting as crazy as I want to get. But, there's no doubt about it.
I was driving back from Gas City down, 20 miles down the road?
Yeah, not far.
This has been a few years ago, and I was passing three semis. I was doing 75 and a 70 to get around these guys because I saw this little Mercedes probably doing 100. He gets right on my bumper. I mean, dangerously close. No one was with me, so I wasn't like I'm protecting my kids or my wife here. He was just really, I felt disrespected, like, dude, let me get past these cars. You don't need to run up the bumper of my car. And I had a struggle in the car. I was like, I wanted to do everything. Do I hit my brakes? No, that'll kill us both.
Oh, that's where you measure how big your vehicle is compared to how big yours is. Can my bumper take this?
Yeah, I used to have a big steel bumper on this four-wheel.
I did. I had a big van with a cast iron bumper on the back. And I was like, go ahead. Let's test the brakes.
Well, I have been known to like do my windshield wiper fluid.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a simple one. That's a safe one, especially if they're in a convertible. But, in the Holy Spirit, as I'm going by, I can feel this disrespect inside of me. Like, dude, you don't need to do this. And finally, I knew that I was starting to get that, your blood pressure's going up.
Yeah.
And God just got a hold of me. He says, Brent, just get out of the way. Speed up if you need to. Whatever you need to do, just get over and let. Because you don't know what his problem
is.
Not
going to hurt. Exactly. He may be on the way to an emergency.
Absolutely.
And I've thought the same thing before.
Or he could just be a jerk.
I thought the same thing before when I was the one tailgating.
Right.
Like, you don't know. I might be on the way to an emergency. I'm just late for a volleyball game, but you don't know.
Like I said, they could just be a jerk.
Yeah.
But then again, that's their issue, not yours. And God said, this isn't your issue.
Right. Very much so.
And one of the things with turning down the temperature and anger, and I say this all the time, identity, identity, identity. Because if my worth and value doesn't have anything to do with what you think about me, it changes the game.
Our pastor talked about that this weekend. It was great.
How ironic.
Sucked a real fast amen out of me. It was great. We get lost when we forget where our identity is. And it's easy to forget, I think, when we get, we're in the world and not of it. That's what we're told. But man, is it hard when you're just inundated with messages and challenges and I think it overwhelms us without us realizing it, hearing things over and over again or seeing things over and over again, experiencing things over and over again.
You know, one of my hot buttons would be if someone tells me something and I heard them and they know I heard them, and then they tell me the same thing again and then again and again. And at some point, I have to say, I need you to understand something. I did hear you the first time, so I will do that. Yeah. I don't need you to keep poking me. For whatever reason, that feels like I'm being controlled.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to control my actions. And so, you know, at some point, you have to. But I think the way that we handle something, words are so important. And the way that we handle it, saying, you know, I know that's really important to you. Obviously, it is because you brought it up several times. And I want you to know I will honor that. But I also need you to know that I don't need you to keep telling me over and over. Now, I get it. If let's say it's your spouse, and there's something she's told you to do over and over again, and you haven't done it, and she's like tired of it, you know, at that point, say, you know, you're exactly right. And as soon as we get home, you know, you can hold my feet to the fire. We'll do that. I think it's important to take responsibility. But it's that other side of it is you have to remember that they have a lens that they're acting out of. Like the driver in the car, we don't know what his lens was, what he was seeing right then at that moment.
Yeah.
But I don't have to see red because he's seeing red.
Just like the person telling you the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
They may be like, I don't know if I've told Brent this or not. Instead of, I hope Brent remembers this.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, but it's another thing. If it's in the same, like, so you're sitting in the car, you're going down the road. And in the next 10 minutes, you hear it four or five times.
Yeah.
Then it's like, okay. I need you to know something. I really do hear you.
Does it sound like this? You're too close to the edge of the road.
I saw this meme the other day. This guy's driving by himself. He goes, how am I going to know how to brake and stop?
Yeah, right. I hope I can do this on my own.
Right. But it's funny because rage is something, and I think for those who are maybe in ministry or as Christians, think about it for a second. We want to make sure that we are putting out the right attitude about things, because it's important. It's important for us, and it's important for others to be able to kind of see the way that the godly life, you know, looks and we're following Scripture. But it can be like a pressure cooker for those who especially are in ministry, because you're afraid to let anything out. Mm. And so you'll disappear to the garage, and the next thing you know, you're having a boxing match with cardboard boxes and tearing them up and throwing them down or throwing something across the garage, or you got cuss words under your breath. I actually had a pastor come to me one time, and he said, I think I need to resign. And I said, why is that? He says, I was in the garage, and I knocked over these plates.
I said.
And he said, and I had all these cuss words going through my brain. And I said, you mean you didn't say them? And I laughed. And I said,
how'd you hold back?
I know. I said, well, let me ask you something. Who is the author of that? He says, well, it must be me. I said, wait a second. Is Christ in you? He says, well, of course. So is God the author of those thoughts? Or is the enemy the author of those thoughts? Because what was the lie underneath? When you knocked it over, what were you thinking? He says, I'm an idiot. Are you an idiot? What does God say about you?
Interesting.
We have this narrative that we have believed that the enemy keeps telling us, you're not worthy. You're an idiot. Think about that sin you did back here. Your wife's saying that because you're such an idiot. You're not a good husband. Or then thoughts like this, well, if you're not a good husband, maybe she'll find another one. And all of a sudden, now you can see how he begins to get nervous or angry. And the next thing you know, it's a person, he's kind of acting like someone you really don't know. And because he's protecting, he's self-protecting because he's scared. Because he's forgotten his identity. Hmm. Yeah. But yeah, the Holy Spirit within us, I think with me, whenever I feel like I'm out of control, I used to have people put a rubber band around their wrist when they were feeling like they were going to act out.
The old snap thing?
Snap, like when you feel like you're starting to get out of control, snap your wrist and go, wait a second, that means think through what you're thinking, Brent. And I'll have people do that. Is it behavior modification? To a point. It's only a reminder to say you need to stop, drop, and roll, right? You need to stop and think through what you're thinking before you speak. Because only fools will react quickly. And why do we do it? Because we feel disrespected. Or you're controlling me. And I won't let anybody do that.
Okay, I'm going to use a reference that may just be way outside the usual target audience that we have here. But we happened to be watching a Harry Potter episode last night.
Harry Potter.
And Dobby.
Yeah.
The house elf.
I always think he looks like Ted Cruz. I don't know why that is. Sorry. It's a weird analogy, but I just every time I see him, I go, man, he looks like Dobby.
You know, remember Dobby, though? He would, like, smack his head against something, bad Dobby.
Yes, yes.
Or he would iron his hands, like, Why are you bandaged? I ironed my hands because I was snapping the rubber band. And he did it in much more violent terms. Yeah. I was going to go back to something you said a minute ago.
So Dobby was the example.
He was the snapping the rubber band on your...
Yeah, right.
But much more violently.
Yeah. I'd forgotten about that. But, sometimes we just need that reminder because in that moment, I have to have, it's like a word or something that, like some people have a safe word or whatever it is, but I have to remember when I'm starting to feel my temperature rise, Brent, you have to remember, first of all, who are you? Christ is in
you.
Now, when I go to respond, remember, words can do damage.
Yes.
And if you've heard me say this before, if my worth and value has anything to do with what you think about me, I will try and manipulate you to get my needs met. So in a situation like that, I may try to take control back over by raising my voice, by standing up and looking bigger, posturing, flexing muscle, using shame, bringing up something from the past to try to put them in their place, because how dare they speak to me like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think part of that is James 1 telling us that we do have our own sinful desires. We don't even need the enemy to necessarily be a part of the
right
picture. And that's what I think makes it even harder, because then you go, well... That's, and what's great about that verse is that tells you that you have responsibility for your actions.
Yep.
You can't just blame somebody else.
Yep.
Or something else or whatever, right? Interesting.
I had taken a couple of notes and I had written something down about, transition, because I want to walk these guys through in a second what's in the new Man Killers book that they'll be walking through. But in this transition, I say, as we're talking about anger, anger feels powerful. Why do men posture? You see, like on the football field, when guys come up and they'll, butt heads with somebody, get
heck
in their face,
It
feels powerful. But here's the thing. Anger is deceptive, because what it does is it convinces us that we are the ones really taking control, but what's really happened is it's controlling us. Football players
that's a great point.
And they draw a flag. And the coach is on the sideline realizing, wait a second, you're trying to intimidate this guy, but the play's over with. Anger is now controlling you.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah. And it can destroy a football team.
And what's crazy is we want to be in control. I mean, I don't know many people I talk to that don't want to be in control.
Yeah.
But especially men. We want to be in control. And yet we let anger or other emotions or sugar or you name it control us.
I got called out one time by a counselor years ago. And they looked at me and they said, you're so nice, Brent. How would anybody be mad at you? And she says, I have a term that I want you to think about that I want you to look at for yourself. And she said, I think you can be a nice bully. And I went, a what? She said, a nice bully. You can bully people with niceness.
What?
I don't think I'm that way now, but I understood what she meant, because I was that person at the time. Even no matter what I was feeling, I was going to be nice about it. Really, I think it's codependency.
Like a backhanded compliment type thing?
Well, like if someone were to come after you saying, you're probably really right about that. I'm not really good at that kind of thing, and I'll try harder. It's really probably a mask word for codependency.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah.
Interesting.
Well, so in this, and you're familiar with this, because I was working on this when we were working on the Unleash book. So in this book, I had put something together, and it's really about helping us men, whether it be lust, whether it be anger, whether it be needing respect from someone, or we feel like we have a lack of purpose, or we're lusting, or we're fearful. I put something together with an acronym, and it's the word FIGHT.
Yeah, this is the one I love, because behind you on the poster is the word FIGHT, and this is how I always cheat.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I know the next one.
Well, so FIGHT is like when you're really struggling with this kind of a thing. Now, if you're going down the highway and someone's running up your bumper or something happens, between you and your wife, you're probably not, you might be thinking the word fight, but it's probably not going to be this.
Fart.
Right. Well, that's one way to get them out of the car. But
that's true.
I put this together. So here's what FIGHT stands for. Because the first thing you have to do when you're struggling, you know it. Like I said, when you have to snap that rubber band on your wrist, you're there, right? So the first thing, F of FIGHT, it stands for find the unhealthy emotion. Because the emotion that you're experiencing, anger in this case, what we're talking about, anger is almost never the real emotion. It's usually that's something that we're protecting that's deeper.
Yep.
Like fear, like we talked about, being disrespected. Maybe it's shame. So you have to ask yourself, what am I really feeling right now? Because if you think about anger, well, what was it that was underneath the anger? Well, she disrespected me. Or she brought something up that I'm ashamed of. So you can see there's different layers to this. I, a fight, stands for identify the unhealthy thought or belief. Because it's what you're thinking that's underneath all this stuff that's creating that emotion.
Yep.
So what lie is it that's fueling the anger? It could be something like, you know, if I show weakness, they're going to take advantage of me. Or I have to control this to stay safe.
I'm not in control,
Yeah. If I don't have control, I won't have respect. So those lies we just talked about there, those are rooted in pride and fear, and they're not rooted in truth. So then what do we do after we've identified the unhealthy emotion, we've identified the unhealthy thought? Now G of fight stands for get the truth. You know, take this back to Scripture. You know, James 1 says, human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Galatians 5:16 says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You know, that guy that was running up my butt, you know, I wanted to, you know, hit my brakes or, you know, turn on my windshield wipers or go really slow and make him go really slow. But you have to go back to truth. Human anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God has. We tap into that by going back to the truth.
Yep.
H of fight. That's when we hold the truth up against the lie. One of the things I always talk about is when you bring light into a darkened room, darkness must flee. Darkness does not exist in the light. So you hold the truth that you just discovered in G up against the lie. So when that flash of anger, you know, hits, you know, you might be saying something out loud like, you know, Christ is in me. God's Spirit is in me. I don't have to fight for control. I can actually surrender and trust him with all of this stuff. And that's what real strength looks like, because we're taking back and we're trusting God's word.
Yep.
And then the last thing really is T stands for track your transformation. This is something that in the workbook I'll have the guys doing all week long. They'll be going down through these processes. And what they'll do is they're going to write down the moments this week when they paused before they reacted. Because every time that you choose restraint over reaction, like that Cape Buffalo that we talked about that will charge on the count of one, every time that we choose restraint over reaction, that Cape Buffalo, so to speak, it gets tamed. Not by suppression. Now listen, not by trying harder, but by surrender. Kevin, when you hear, because you've been here as I was just going through or creating this whole fight process, is there anything that stands out to you, or where is it hardest for you when in those moments to hold the truth up against the lie?
I'd rather answer the first question.
Okay, we'll do that.
Yeah, for me, it's very much the I, and I think a part of that, Brent, comes from my company, just what we do for a living. We try to find root causes, right? So we're working to close some kind of a gap, but just because we see a gap doesn't mean we know the cause of the gap. And so we're always looking for the root cause, because when you find the root cause, it's much easier to put into place a process, a plan, or whatever, a program, platform, you name it, to fix or close the gap. Same thing here. If I can't identify what in me is really causing that reaction, intentional language there, right? Reacting, that's about control. And we just talked about how we want to control things. But responding is about surrender. And we want to surrender, right? So if I can find that, or I can identify, I'll use our language, that unhealthy root cause, I'm in a much better position to respond, meaning surrender to the Lord in that issue, that whatever, than I am to react, which is much more of a carnal, immediate. Yeah.
You're talking about, you know, going back to the root cause. I was, as you were saying that, I literally just got on my computer and I typed in Luke 6:43-45. And I take this out of the MSG, not one of my favorite translations, but sometimes I like what it says because I can apply it. And this is one of those I love because you're talking about root causes.
Yeah.
This is the verse that says, you don't get wormy apples off a healthy tree,
right?
Nor good apples off a diseased tree. The health of the apple tells the health of the tree. You must be, we're talking about going back to the roots. It says, you must begin with your own life-giving lives. It's who you are, not what you say and do that counts. And then the very next sentence, I love this. It says, your true being brims over into true words and deeds. Your true being is Christ in you. So when you go back to that Holy Spirit place, what we're talking about with fight, going back and what's the emotion, what's the thought, what's the truth, how do I hold that up against a lie? That's what's happening. You're taking that truth, and now because you're going to God, that's what brims over into true words and deeds. You don't need to lash out. You can actually get into their world to find out what the root cause is that they're struggling with.
Right. But if those words and deeds aren't the ones that they should be, what's brimming over? You got to go backwards and go, okay, where's the root cause here?
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's why at the beginning of this, we say, first of all, go back and identify the emotion you're going through. And again, emotions in and of themselves aren't unhealthy. God gave you those. Remember that. You have emotions because God created you with those, because it could be a healthy fear if your child runs out into the street. I've talked about that before. It could be a healthy anger if a child's being, you and I talked about this as we started, if a child's being sexually molested.
Sends me through the roof.
Yep.
Through the roof.
Yep.
Blood pressure, itchy trigger finger. All right.
Well, we saw there was a guy that was in court, and they had to handcuff him because he was going after the man who had raped his daughter. It was one of those states where men were allowed to be in the women's bathrooms, and he raped his daughter. I mean, as a father, what would I do in that? I don't know how I would snapping a rubber band isn't going to help in that moment.
I think Charlie Kirk's wife, was her name Erica? Is that right? I think to her and how she forgave that man, I say that I could do that. But praise the Lord, he hasn't put me in a position to figure out whether that's really true or not.
The closest I can come to that was when my mom and dad were hit by the girl texting.
Mm.
And I don't know how, but it was really quick like that. I was able to forgive her because she was like 16.
Mm.
She barely had her license. She probably didn't know the result she had of texting. And I'm thinking the rest of her life is going to be ruined because what she did. My dad eventually passed a few months later as a result of everything from the accident.
Yeah.
I think it's in those moments that God gives you the ability that you could never do on your own.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I know we couldn't.
Well, I think we've kind of...
we could keep going. I love this. But our poor listeners, we got to give them a break.
Yeah, we got to let them tap out.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what you guys... You know, everybody has anger. You know, and something I've talked about before is, you know, they go, what about righteous anger? Well, I get it. There's that right, like we just talked about, if a child is being sexually molested, right? But we have to be very careful because righteous anger, if we hold on to it too long, can be like a poison.
But it's rooted in love for God's truth. It's not my righteous anger. It's righteous.
And then who is the one who has the just cause to take care of that? God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the part that's hard to let go of sometimes. Oh, guys, let me just kind of say this before we finish up. These podcasts, we really enjoy doing these. We get calls every single week, emails from guys saying, man, I forwarded this or I really needed this. You have no idea. I got one last week from an Amish gentleman. You know, we're not doing these in videos now, but he can listen to the podcast. And he got a hold to me, and he was curious about my heart surgery because he's having issues, and he's in the Amish community, so they're very private.
Yeah.
But he wanted to talk. So,
cool.
Share these with your friends, the things we're talking about. Maybe you know someone that has really struggled with anger, with anything. We want you to be free, and we know God does too. Does God want us broken? Yeah. Does he want us to stay broken? No. Let me just kind of pray before we finish up. God, thank you so much for this time we get to share with each other. Thanks for restoration. You know, when we struggle with things, you just have a way of making everything new when we bring it to you. And you don't hold us in our shame. When we are forgiven, we can walk lighter, freer. And we now have the experience of what not to do. And maybe that's just learning how to be patient with someone else so they can learn the same thing. But God, thank you so much for the healing that I want to say. Thank you for the healing that's been happening in my body, for what you're doing and in Kevin's life right now. And God, we are so grateful. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name. Well, guys, one of the things in the Big Five Man Killers that I love to say, and this is kind of a little secret, at the end of every single week, it'll be an 8-week study, when the facilitator is done, all the guys in unison will be reading from their book. And you know how they're going to start this off? When a man knows who he is in Christ, that he's been created in the image of the living God, when he is no longer held captive by the opinions of others or cares whether he lives or dies, that man is now extremely dangerous. Dangerous for good, because he's been unleashed. We'll see you next time.